is what? Watching the Preds play.
No,
you know what I mean? With a seventh game, you get seven games. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather watch seven hockey games than just four.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
You have done this to yourself. All I have to do is kick away the chair, my friend. The most famous Predator series of the last 5 years when they swept the Chicago Blackhawks. And now Chicago cannot argue with Nashville ever because all they have to say is, hey, brooms.
Buddy,
brooms.
Brooms. Sure, they beat the brooms. Blackhawks, but you remember what
happened. Hey, Chicago, you trying to talk trash to me? You got swept. Brooms.
On 1340 WKGN.
Sweeping the team makes such a statement of, hey, we're better than you. When it's a sweep, you leave no doubt. There is nothing worse than losing a playoff game. And you've given me that pain.
Game 7 is massive.
And you've given me that pain three times.
But
no
game
thanks.
7 becomes so massive.
Brooms out, bitch.
Just watch.
Sweep. Sweep. Hour number three, kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour three headlines brought to you by our friends at Gramco. Use the promo code VOLS25, VOLS25, for 25% off your Delta 8 needs. Delta 8 is 100% legal. Must be 21 or older to try. Cam, you finish off your biscuits. You feeling good? You rebounded?
There were some good biscuits, yeah.
I will say they helped me out with my tailgate on Saturday, and some of my friends said they got put down bad.
Oh,
they
yeah.
got put down bad, yeah. The Gramco was there stocking them up and got them pretty good. Promo code VOLS25. You can get free shipping on orders, I believe, over $50. Shipping is quick and discreet. Let's hit some Hour 3 headlines.
Thanks.
Cody Mack.
Thanks. John, this should be good.
You're welcome. I'm excited to see what you got.
Cardinals veteran receiver A.J. Green is out indefinitely after suffering a knee injury against the Rams.
He's terrible anyways.
Who, A.J. Green?
Yeah.
Well, he left Sunday's game and didn't return, and turns out he has a knee injury. The old man, who is now 34, messed his knee up. Okay, so he's done. The Lakers say Pelinka would be willing to trade first-round picks for the right deal.
Okay. What is the right deal?
Well, I don't know.
Getting rid of Russell Westbrook. We'll see. I still think it's going to end up being the Pacers deal where they get rid of Westbrook for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, but we'll see.
Former Baylor players are blasting ex-coach Kim Mulkey over her lack of comments and public support for Brittany Griner.
Kim Mulkey's a weird woman. Did you see this press conference? She was asked about, you know, basically, does she have any comments on Brittany Griner? And she just said, nope, don't have any.
She chose not to comment.
No, she didn't even say, like, no comment. It wasn't, like, that simple. It was like, I have no comments. Like, you're basically not going to get a comment out of me. I got nothing to say. A little bit different to me than just saying simply no comment. Not to nitpick, but.
Well, she didn't comment.
She did not comment, yes. But she did comment by saying she wasn't going to comment. She like, it basically came across as like very dismissive and like, yeah, I got nothing to say about her.
So she kind of did comment. She did make a comment about not commenting.
Yeah. To me, that said more than just simply no comment. Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure.
The semantics
sure.
there?
I'm not sure about that.
Well, people on the internet did. People on the internet thought it was her kind of being dismissive of Brittany Griner.
The reporter noted he hadn't seen anything from her on that. And you won't, she said.
Yeah, see, that's a little bit different, right? Like, and you're not going to get nothing out of me out of that. Like, it just came across as a jerk.
She does seem like a real bitch. The former player spoke out on Twitter and called out the former coach for turning on a player to whom she owes much of her success.
Yeah.
She said a player that built Baylor two Final Fours and a 40-0 record, yet our former coach refuses to say anything or simply just show any kind of support. Keep that in mind when you're choosing schools, said the former player Egbo.
Who?
Egbo. Queen Egbo. I don't know who that is. I guess she played for Baylor. Cam, do you know Queen Egbo?
I remember the name. I don't know if she's still playing in the WNBA or anything, but I think she was just a member of one of those grinder teams.
Oh, God. I really wish I had some carbs. Egbo. That reminded me of Eggo. Eggo waffles.
Let go of my ego.
Mac Jones almost died. Oh, what else do we got? New study suggests something about fetuses.
Oh, no.
It says fetuses tend to smile for carrots, but they grimace over kale.
Okay.
New study about what vegetables fetuses like the most. Fetuses like carrots. They don't like kale. This coming from CNN.
Interesting.
Would have checked out with you as a fetus, wouldn't it? Same. I know you like your carrots.
I do love me some carrots.
Rolling.
What's up, Doc? That's how it would have been in the womb.
What's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
Yeah, although I probably wouldn't have known who Bugs Bunny
That's
was.
Funny. That's funny because it was a doctors conducting the...
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's what the fetus has said.
Yeah. That was my joke. Thank you for explaining it.
Yeah. Of course, if they preferred spinach, I guess they could have been like Popeye and
toot, toot.
Popped up their muscles or whatever. Anyway, fetuses are weird. Here's a tweet. Using Adoree Jackson's money to pay Julio Jones was a tremendous error in retrospect. Jackson is playing like a top five NFL corner right now, says Mike Herndon.
That's hindsight.
Yeah, well.
At the time, we needed to upgrade the number two receiver. You had to do something. You either could have kept Corey Davis and paid him.
Yeah, right over there?
No. You could have kept Corey Davis and paid him, paid Julio Jones to be a number two receiver, or pay Adoree Jackson, who couldn't stay healthy for the Titans and didn't really mesh well with Mike Vrabel. Now, Adoree was a first-round pick. Adoree has been pretty good in New York, and the Titans do need secondary help. So I understand that. They still could have also needed a wide receiver, so.
You're going to die.
Oh, God.
Did I give you my sickness? What if you made fun of me this whole show? And then I got you sick and ruined your Denver trip?
Yeah.
You're just sick the whole time?
Or my plane crashed.
After you talked about me getting beat up the whole show. I didn't get beat up. Are you all right?
No,
what is wrong with you?
If you keep saying...
Do you want some water?
I'm about to throw up.
Oh, my God. Maybe take some time off.
Hold on.
Don't throw up there. Is it your heart?
It's everything. What have you given me?
Heart attack.
He broke you. Oh, no.
Did somebody poison him? Yeah, we need to take this hour off. We're falling apart as a show here. Cam, unless you just want to do it. I don't know.
Why do you keep trying to get away? You can do it.
I thought you were having a heart attack.
I thought I was too for a second.
Well, Anthony Davis told ESPN he plans to have a chip on his shoulder this season, channeling the same approach he brought to L.A. in 2019 and 2020. In unrelated news, Anthony Davis will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a chip on his shoulder.
They need Anthony Davis to be really good. Did you see the clip of Anthony Davis twitching?
No, I didn't.
He was playing Twitch. He was playing.
Oh, okay. But he doesn't like Twitch movements. I was like, when was this?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have referenced that. No, he was playing on Twitch. He was playing 2K as Anthony Davis, and he went up and got a really nasty block, and then his player went down to the ground grabbing his ankle, and Anthony Davis had to awkwardly sit there as his player was getting hurt like he always does. And he was trying to kind of laugh it off. But he was like, man, that's got to hurt, right? Like, everyone makes fun of you and talks about how you know, soft you are and how you're always injured, and then you actually get injured on a video game while you're playing as yourself. That's tough. That's tough.
That is tough.
Rolling Stone magazine has re-ranked the 100 greatest TV shows of all time.
Oh, yeah? Who did this?
Rolling Stone magazine, a reputable source. Now listen, I know this.
I like some of the Rolling Stone songs. What the hell do they know about TV?
This is a different outlet. This is a magazine.
They're a music magazine. What the hell do they know about TV?
Well, I don't know, but I feel like they're pretty reputable. And because when they do these lists, I love the Rolling Stone lists because they get a bunch of people together. So I know this is, you know, hey, let's talk about the best TV shows ever. I know it's like old content, whatever, but they did a revised, like, because they actually put people who know it together.
What's number one?
Producers, directors, what's actors, fans. They take so many opinions.
What's number one?
Number one, the all-time GOAT, The Sopranos.
What's number two?
The Simpsons.
What's number three?
Number three was Breaking Bad.
What was number four?
The Wire.
What was number five?
Fleabag.
Doesn't Fleabag only have like two seasons of shows?
It says 2016 to 19.
Yeah, but I don't. Let me see if there's even a. I mean, no, there's not a. There's only 12 episodes. You can't be the second best show of all time. Or what'd you say?
Fifth
best show of all time and only have.
Well, this is coming from producers, writers, directors, actors.
I mean, some of it was funny. I gave it like four episodes, and it was funny, and I just kind of quit watching it. But you don't get...
Well, it's BBC.
No,
so
I understand.
Do we know, do we have the same view of it as, say, Londoners?
No, they love it. I mean, it's a popular show, but again, you can't be the fifth best show of all time with only 12 episodes. It's one season of TV in most of these cases. Most of our dramas have at least 10 episodes in a season. Most of them, some of them go up to 12 or 13.
Well,
you don't get to have 12. You don't get to have 12 episodes of like 25 minutes and be the fifth best show of all time. You just don't. I'm sorry.
I agree with you, but that's just what they have.
I understand. What's number six?
Number six was Seinfeld. And number seven was Mad Men. Number eight after that was Cheers. Number nine was Atlanta.
Okay, that's stupid too.
Number 10 was the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
It's almost like they were like, okay, number five, we got to make sure, oh, wait, we ain't got nothing led by a woman. And they're like, wait, we got to get through the whole top 10. We ain't got no people that are black in here, so let's give it to Atlanta. I like Atlanta.
Well, they had The Wire.
It ain't the... Yeah, that's true.
Number 11, Succession.
Okay.
Number 12 is The Twilight Zone.
Succession in the top 12. Three is still going on. It's got a chance to get into the top 10, maybe in the top five.
It is a great show. Number 13, Veep.
I was going to say Veep's better than Fleabag.
Number 14, The Americans.
Never watched that one.
Number 15, The Larry Sanders Show.
People say that one was ahead of its time.
Number 16, Twin Peaks. I'm just going to do this the rest of the hour.
You better slow down then.
Number 17, The Leftovers.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the one I need to watch. That one's, some people say, is as good as anything.
They had Game of Thrones all the way down at 31.
Imagine where it'd be without the last two seasons that were so mid.
It would have been probably top five.
Yeah.
If not for that.
Yeah.
Well, those are my headlines.
Good luck on the rest of the show, man. I hope you figure it out.
Thanks a lot for leaving me here.
Well, I gave you a month of notice that this was coming.
In my time of dying.
You might need to make some phone calls and make sure somebody's here to help you tomorrow with the way you're acting.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow.
Tough it up, buddy. Tough it up. Tough it up, tough it out. You know what I mean. I'm going to Denver. I'll be back.
Have fun in your skiing.
I'm not.
In your ski mountain.
I will not be skiing. I will be watching a concert, and I will be, I don't know what else I'll be doing. I'm excited to get out there and feel that mountain air.
It's good time.
It's fun out there.
It's
like
good
it.
Time to get away and.
Yeah, bye week.
Yeah.
All right, see you guys. You guys will be back, but I'll be gone. Bye-bye.
Okay, see you guys tomorrow.
All right, back here on the program. Cody is still with us, if you were wondering. He's fighting through it. He's fighting through it like a champ.
This is going to be a hell of a last 35 minutes here, Cam.
We're going to crush it, as always.
If you're... go ahead and tell you now, if you're listening to this, you might as well just cut it off. Don't expect too much.
Oh, we're about to talk about some Tennessee football, though.
Are we? What are we talking about?
Well, seeing as we're on a bye.
Turn the radio off, folks. Just go to WNML. Come back for the drive if you like Russell. I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, being on the bye week, it's kind of a big week as we get to kind of just sit and watch other teams around the SEC. And obviously there's about three teams ahead of us in the rankings right now, with Alabama, Georgia, and Kentucky being ahead of us. Couple of them have a couple games this week that could be tricky or a loss for them. Alabama plays at Arkansas. Obviously a ranked matchup there. Arkansas should have won last week on that last second field goal, but their kicker doesn't know how to do his job.
Doink.
Yeah, doink, doink. He missed it there, but that should have been a win for them against A&M, which was, I guess, made this game a little bit more higher profile as far as the overall rankings. But Bama going to Arkansas, you know, those fans are going to be ready for that. Those fans are going to be hyped up. Not an easy place to go in and play. Maybe, just maybe, Bama slips up there.
You think that'll be close? My initial thought is that Alabama's receivers will kind of overwhelm them. I know their receivers not as good as they were, but they're still five-star talented. Here's the thing about Arkansas' secondary. I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but, you know, they lost their best player at the start of the year, Catalon.
Mm-hmm.
He was their best player in the secondary. He was an elite, good SEC player. But also, they had two guys over the offseason that transferred to LSU. And then I think they got two transfers in. They got one maybe from LSU and one from Georgia. But they got the bad end of that.
Yeah.
Like, they basically got guys that weren't starting there. And they lost two of their starters to LSU. So, like, they're down three of their better secondary players. And that, to me, just seeing what they've done this year, I don't see them being able to stop Alabama. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope they keep it close, beat them up a little bit. Maybe they can use, you know, just that ball control, Sam Pittman style of offense. And try to keep it close. Alabama has looked a lot better the past couple of weeks. You know, obviously after Texas, they have looked a lot better. I think Arkansas could keep it close. Hopefully they just kind of can beat them up a bit. Because, I mean, Bama kind of has a couple tough, like, they have to be on their A-game games, like, in the next two before they get to UT. After Arkansas, they play A&M. So it's not like they have a cakewalk into Neyland Stadium by any means. So hopefully they get, you know, just beat up two physical weeks in a row, those two physical teams. Going to be two different, completely different styles of teams as well, with Arkansas being, you know, more of an offensive style team and A&M being the defensive style team. So they're going to be jumping back and forth on types of game plans, stuff like that. And then they got to come in and on a week's notice get ready for, you know, the best offense in college football.
Funny you should mention that, Cam.
Yes.
Tennessee football tweets out a graphic here. First in the SEC, 559.2 total offense per game, 365.8 passing per game. Seven consecutive games of scoring over 30 points and 194 points. It's an elite offense
right now.
That's
a lot of points.
It's elite. And obviously you get to raise those numbers a little bit with your wins over Akron and Ball State. But but I think that averages out when you consider the Florida and Pittsburgh games are included in that too. So,
oh, absolutely. They're legit. I think they've proven that this offense can score on people. And I think we saw that last year too at times. And
that's an average four games there.
For sure. That seems kind of like a tough ask, in my opinion, of just kind of switching back and forth with game plans, and then, boom, you got to prepare for the best offense in the country after playing like A&M. It's going to be kind of a wake-up call from going from that offense to Tennessee flying all over the field.
That's a tough stretch, too. Yeah. I mean, because Arkansas and A&M, I don't think they're as good as we are, but I think they're that next tier in the SEC. Like, I think they're – those teams, on average, I think, are better than Florida. They're better than LSU. I would put them in the very next tier. I think Tennessee's the third best team in the SEC, but then Arkansas and A&M are right there after that. So
for sure, yeah.
That's a tough stretch for Alabama. They're if you were betting now, do you think the next 3 weeks, there's no bye week in that either?
No, it's just Arkansas, A&M, UT.
Do you think Alabama drops one?
Over the next three, this would be the stretch for it to happen, I feel like. We've kind of mentioned before, like, they usually always drop one game.
Would you bet that they do or that they don't? Like, what would you set it at? Would it be even or would it be?
I think it would still be plus money if they drop a game because they should be favored in all of these.
Right.
So
maybe like Alabama plus.
Maybe like two.
Plus 200.
Or something like that.
To win them all?
To lose it. Well, yeah. Probably to win them all. It'd probably be closer to like plus 180 or something to win them all. But I would take the odds that they drop one here. Like, this is going to be their toughest stretch. We already saw that, like, you can get played with. Like, we saw with the Texas game. So people can play with them. And Texas, as we've seen, is not really as good as we kind of, you know, almost thought from that game there. Especially after dropping to Texas Tech this past weekend, you kind of realize Texas isn't really all that. So
I almost feel that we're the only shot.
Yeah. I think if it's...
And I don't mean that biasly, like, just as a Tennessee fan. I just think that, like, with Arkansas's defensive troubles, mm-hmm. I don't think Arkansas's that good right now. And I just... A&M, I don't think they have an offense that can keep up with them.
Being
and
in
plus
Tuscaloosa,
after,
yeah.
Yeah, and after what happened last year, you know they're going to be hyper-focused on...
And the all those, you know, quotes that came out and stuff like that with Saban and Jimbo. Saban's going to be on his game for that game.
And it's in Tuscaloosa, like you said. That doesn't seem to me like a game that Alabama would lose, but...
I will feel really good about the possibility of us getting upset if this weekend... At Arkansas is putting up some points on them.
Yeah.
Because, we're a better offensive team than Arkansas, obviously. But they're also, that's kind of their thing. So if Alabama struggles to slow them down at all, that bodes really well for us, in my opinion, because anything they can do, we can do better. So if Arkansas puts up, 27 points on Alabama, I'd feel good about having a shot to at least end up in a shootout with them. And, with this kind of offense, kind of like our chances.
If they are in a shootout with Arkansas, I agree with you. That's a good sign for us. The thing I know Arkansas does a little different is they're more of a run heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to – they'll use a little more clock than we do.
For sure.
Whereas we'll try to hit them fast and, you know, I don't know how those mixes in style will – affect it, but
I think it's an even better sign if they can put up points while playing at a slower pace, because then you're just like, well, we're gonna have more opportunities and we're gonna be attacking a little bit more aggressively. I think that's also a really good sign, just because, you know, we don't really have they'll have a much higher time of possession than we will, but I like the odds there. I like them definitely a lot better than the stretch Georgia's got going before they play us. They basically have a cakewalk in here. With at Missouri, Auburn, Vanderbilt, bye week, Florida. Like, that's – come on now. What are they doing?
How are they going to lose? They're not going to lose.
Yep, unless it's to us. I don't think they will either. But I think the Bama, I think that's possible. Because I'm not worried about Kentucky. They'll probably lose to Ole Miss this week and end up dropping below us anyways and just having an SEC loss. Evan, you'll go and get them, you know, in Neyland, where they obviously traditionally struggle and do not win unless there's another pandemic that pops up in the next 4 weeks. So I feel confident that you get Kentucky, end up ahead of them in the rankings. I think you got a shot at Alabama. Georgia, I don't know, though. They have such an easy stretch leading up to us. I don't think it's tough to go down to Athens like that and go get a win. We have done it before, but it's tough. You just got to hope the Florida game takes a little bit out of them, with that being the game before us, because, you know, they always go hard in that game every year. But, yeah, I think Alabama's our best bet at the upset.
Yep, I would agree with you, Cam. Felt like you've done a pretty good job in this segment here.
Well,
good job
it.
Talking football.
Yeah, I do like some football.
Solid C plus to B minus, much higher on your part.
We're rallying.
Yeah,
we're scrappy underdogs here.
Yeah, that pretty much puts that segment away, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're gonna hit a break here.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the bathroom and try to stay alive.
I'll hold it down.
Okay. All
right. Stick with us. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio. You're live.
Hey, Cam.
I was about to announce your time of death to the audience.
What were we estimated time of deceased?
2:36.
What were we talking about?
I just continued to talk a little Tennessee football. Not really much else going on right now in the sports world. We kind of hit a lot of things today.
Not a whole lot else going on. There was a TikToker that died. Did you see that? She got murdered.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, 21-year-old influencer Carla Pardini was shot dead near her home after an ominous late-night call. Does that do anything for you?
Ominous late-night call? What does that even mean?
I don't know. It must have been a call that was ominous.
Just like a scary movie call? It's like, I know where you live.
Apparently, she was a popular Mexican TikToker. Carla Pardini, she was gunned down at her home last week after she got a weird call. She received a call, went outside, and that's when the attack occurred.
So somebody was like, hey, she come got, outside. I left you something on the porch, and then...
She got murdered. Mm. Yeah, but anyway, back to whatever you were saying there, I was...
No, I wasn't really saying much.
Oh, okay.
I was just rambling a little bit.
I was just scrolling through some news headlines.
Well, you know, we're always welcome to hearing the news.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not much going on, like we kind of talked about. Not really worth talking about that Monday night football game. I hate when they have bad Monday night football games, though. Because that's one where you all can kind of just sit down and watch it and, you know, not have to worry about trying to keep up with all the other games going on and things like that. And then they just give you a dud and you're mad that you're up at 10:30 watching the Giants and Cowboys and stuff like that.
It did seem the Giants brought a crowd out for it. You know, I noticed they had a full MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, they hate the Cowboys, and I guess they were feeling good after being 2-0 and thought they were about to get to 3-0. But they came crashing back to earth when they lost to Cooper Rush. The NFC East actually has the highest win percentage by division this season, pretty easily actually at 66.7%. AFC East is right behind them with 58.3%, tied with the NFC North. Surprisingly, the NFC West is in last place as far as win percentage across the board. I guess when the Cardinals have been awful, Seahawks have been awful, Rams have underperformed a little bit, and 49ers as well. Not a great start by that division. There's actually four divisions tied for the worst record, the AFC South included in there. And the AFC West, who, you know, we're toting as being the best division in football. But I guess they have beat up on each other a little bit so far, and the Raiders have been awful. But
would have thought the NFC West would have a better record, but I guess part of that can be, you know, cannibalizing yourself.
Yeah, a little bit. They have played
a couple. Speaking of cannibalizing yourself, I watched the first episode last night of the Jeffrey Dahmer documentary.
Really? Yeah, I was actually talking to someone about this last night. I haven't sat down and watched it yet.
Oh,
but
it was pretty good.
Okay, somebody said it was intense.
Episode. Yeah.
Somebody said they watched the first two and was telling me about it, and they're like, yeah, it's pretty gruesome, messed up, of course, like, but you kind of know what you're getting into with that.
It's actually, I thought it was a documentary, but it's not. It's one of those things with the actors. What do they call those?
It's like a docu-series, technically, but it's like a betrayal, I guess. Or
it's like a true story, but it's made with actors instead of, it's not documentary style, but it was a good first episode. It hooked me in.
Okay.
I'm excited to see the second episode, but
I'm going to have to actually tune in. I've been meaning to do that, but just haven't gotten around to it. You know, I usually get home too late at nights to start throwing on anything. So,
well, it's a good way to end your night, you know. Nothing better than going to bed thinking about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
A few things more exciting.
No, not much, but yeah, I'll have to check that out. There's lots of, what show was I looking at? I think that Marilyn Monroe show comes out tomorrow on Netflix as well, or movie, or whatever
Ana
it is.
De Armas?
I think that comes out tomorrow.
I saw talking about that last week.
Yeah, I think that's tomorrow. Kid Cudi has some animated movie coming out on Friday on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know he was getting into the... I guess Netflix has been giving him the green light because he was in that Don't Look Up movie But I think he's, like, made an animated movie somehow.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I might watch the Maryland thing just to see Ana de Armas.
Yeah, same. I want to see what she looks like.
She's quite pretty.
As Marilyn Monroe. I'm sure it will be an interesting ride. Hopefully they don't portray her in the movie as dirty as, like, I heard Marilyn was in real life.
Yeah.
That may turn me off from Ana a little bit there. So
sometimes I wonder if she got a fair shake, you know, or if she was just, I don't know. I think she had it pretty rough in some ways. It was a tough time to be a great actress, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And yeah.
She I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. What time is it?
It is 2:41. 2:41.
I think I might die today. Do you think this has anything to do with my diet?
It could be, maybe because it's just like fluctuating so much. It's throwing your body off a little bit.
Maybe.
That could be it.
It could be.
Allergies. It could just be a combo of things. The cat, the concussion.
What do you eat?
What do I eat?
Yeah, what's
your
diet
like? I eat garbage. I eat pizza rolls.
Well, I know you love
different
pizza
forms
rolls.
Of chicken, but hamburgers.
What do you think you eat the most of?
Probably forms of chicken at this point.
Different forms of chicken.
I eat a lot of pizza, though, too, but...
Yeah, I love pizza.
I love pizza. I even get, like, a pizza panini at this one establishment that I really like. I ate a grilled cheese last night with bacon and ham on it. That was really
Ooh,
good.
That's even more than a grilled cheese.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I upgraded it.
Love a good grilled cheese.
I eat, like, garbage. I don't know how it works for me because I don't get sick. I power through. I haven't gotten COVID. I think it's the lack of vegetables. I think by not eating vegetables, I have trained my body to be immune to most, you know, normal human ailments. So, pretty good. I don't recommend it for everybody. I don't think the abrupt transition would probably go well for most people. But just eat a fruit every, like, month or so. That's usually my motto.
One fruit a month?
Yeah, I buy some strawberries or something or some apple juice. That's close enough.
I like strawberries.
I do like strawberries.
Yeah.
That's a good fruit.
Yeah, but the Jeffrey Dahmer documentary, he was eating like, he had hearts. And there was like, not to spoil it, but I mean, everybody already knows the story, but he had like a vat full of acid and it mm-hmm. had three torsos in it when they found it. There were three torsos.
Mmm, delicious.
And then they were telling his dad about everything they found and they said, we found the three torsos, there was a head in the refrigerator, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh, yeah, and the worst part, the dad was like, oh, there's more. The worst part was we found human remains on the kitchen utensils. And we have evidence that he may have been eating his victims. And the dad was just like, oh, okay.
He's like, thanks for the heads up.
They said, okay, sir, we'll give you a minute to process these things. You've learned about your son. But it seems like it's going to be a wild show.
It's wild that he just like, you know what? I'm going to make a sandwich out of this guy's leg.
It's a crazy story. Yeah. Crazy story. I mean, I think all 10 episodes are out now, but I've only watched the one.
Yeah, I think they dropped them all at once, but...
Yeah, you can watch the whole thing. I'm sure somebody's already blown through it.
Oh, for sure. I'll check it out, though. I'm intrigued. It's an intriguing story.
It's
a big deal in the black community, too.
It is?
Yeah, because a lot of his victims were black.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, because
the gay and black community were basically where he was.
Those were his targets?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of gay black guys.
Well, that makes sense, because that's what the guy was last night. Not to spoil it, but, I mean, again, I don't know if you can really spoil it. It's a true
yeah.
story.
Yeah, it's already happened. It's all out on the internet already.
How much can you really spoil Jeffrey Dahmer? I actually think spoiling was kind of a big theme of the first episode. The spoilers. The head in the refrigerator was starting to spoil. But anyway, I feel like that does it for this segment for me.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Cam?
Yeah.
How do we grade this one? I'm going lower. I'm going probably D.
Yeah,
D to D plus.
We dropped a little bit on that one. I'm with you there, but I think we did enough to at least get to last call.
Oh, good, good. It's 2:45. I haven't seen the sunlight in hours. Okay.
Yeah. So. Yep.
I'm not putting this podcast up.
It's a good one. It's a quality one. The people need it.
Last call on the other side. Thank you.
All right, last call here on the program. Get you out of here into the rest of your Tuesday afternoon and into the drive here where they'll have a full crew of people. And I don't think any of them are sick at the moment, but...
Not yet.
We'll see how that goes for them. But last call, play some, I got some Pump the Brakes, some Keeping It Rolling. I got a story. flight was delayed by this. Okay.
Yeah.
American Airlines flight was interrupted by sounds of moaning, groaning on the PA system. But apparently, it wasn't anything human. Apparently, they said a mechanical issue was responsible, likely story, was responsible for the strange sounds coming from the plane's public announcement system during a flight from Los Angeles to Dallas. Somebody posted a video on social media showing basically his reaction to the strange sounds, which he described as somewhere between orgasm and vomiting. I think I heard those same noises from when you went to the bathroom recently.
It's a fine line.
It's close. They're very similar.
Sometimes you don't know if you're coming or going.
Yeah. Better out than in, Shrek always said.
That's how I feel right now.
The pilots also chimed in and said, sorry and apologized for the irritating sound. Please be patient. We know it's odd, and none of us are enjoying it. But we do appreciate your attention just for a few moments until we figure out how to turn it off.
Maybe somebody was enjoying it. Maybe that was
Maybe the pilots were up there and just like, hey, autopilot's on. We might as well just have a little fun.
Do we know exactly what the sound was? It was just mechanical?
They claim it was mechanical. There's a video somebody posted on social media of the sound, so you can go listen to it and I guess make your own assumptions. But who knows? Maybe they were lying and just were having some fun up there in the cockpit. But you never know. Mechanical issues always a good excuse. People always pull that card for stuff like this.
It's probably a broken plane.
Yeah, I would probably not want to be on that plane, but they did land safely, and the noise was still going as the plane landed. But they landed, they survived, nothing else really came from it, I guess. Just weird that you got your plane delayed for that, or interrupted in the middle of that.
Alrighty, good story, Cam. Let's see what I have over here. I have a story about a chess player, the chess world champion, accusing his rival of doing something.
Okay. Now give it to me.
Cheating.
Oh, no.
The chess world champion, Magnus Carlsen, explicitly accused his rival Hans Niemann of cheating.
How does one cheat in chess? You just say, hey, look over there, and you move their piece?
I don't know. He released his accusations against his rival and fellow chess grandmaster Hans Niemann on Monday. The statement says it follows Carlsen's recent withdrawal from the Cup in St. Louis after his third round defeat against Niemann and his withdrawal. Okay. Let's see. The other guy denies any wrongdoing. In the statement, Carlsen said, when Niemann was invited last minute to the Cup, I strongly considered withdrawing prior to the event, but then I ultimately chose to play. I believe that Niemann has cheated more and more recently than he has publicly admitted. His over-the-board progress has been unusual. And throughout our game in the Cup, I had the impression that he wasn't tense or even fully concentrating on the game in critical positions while outplaying me as black in a way I think only a handful of players can do. This game contributed to changing my perspective. Yeah, I don't know, so I guess he said he cheated.
Man, these chess players, they're just getting more and more innovative. I think there was a guy that cheated with, like, anal beads.
Anal beads? In chess?
I don't know how that contributed to cheating, but he did it somehow.
That would be an interesting move.
Yeah, I don't know if he just had, like, extra pieces or tried to strangle the guy. I don't know what happened there. But, yeah, I think I saw something like that the other day. Didn't even know that was possible.
I think the horse, the jack, can only move up three and over one, and then the pawn can only move one. But I don't know where anal beads could move in chess.
I don't either.
I would
maybe
say only straight forward and back.
Maybe that's like a hack, but they have free movement of the board.
Huh.
So if you bring your own, who knows? I'm not well-versed in the anal bead chess community.
I won a pair of anal beads one time in a machine. They had one of those vending machines that has the claw that drops.
Oh, yeah, and it was just...
And the place I was at, it was full of sex toys. And I dropped the claw, and I picked up some anal beads, and the whole place cheered.
Nice. Congratulations. You still have them to this day?
Yeah, I still have them. I don't use them for anything, but I have them just because I want them. So if anybody needs a fresh, unused pair of anal beads, I got you. I'll sell them to you.
Give you a discounted price.
Yeah.
Well,
that was a good hour.
Good show. We made it through.
Probably not going to post that podcast.
Abandoned us to go on vacation. I guess we'll see how if we do shows the next few days or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted,
we'll
know?
We'll play it by ear. Stick to our Twitters and things like that. But the drive is up next.